The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ray Allen. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Howdy, partner. I think I can say that. It's Rodeo Day in Tucson, the Rodeo Parade. It is also Washington's birthday, the official day for Washington's birthday, February 22nd. Here we are on this Thursday afternoon. Very full hour as usual on the Buckmaster Show. In fact, why don't we get right at it and go on the live line to Dr. Mark Stegman, who is a professor of economics at the University of Arizona. He is also the president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Dr. Stegman, thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule over at the U of A to talk with us.
No problem, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Are you wearing your cowboy outfit?
I guess on radio I can say anything. Yeah, absolutely.
Got your boot.
And I rode my horse into work.
Yeah, I bet. I want to talk about something very serious. It's the topic of the day. Should we let adults in our schools have weapons? Not just teachers, but principals, administrators, should they, if they are qualified, should they be allowed to carry a firearm?
Bill, I don't have a well-formulated opinion on that. I don't think that such a program should be excluded. You would have to think very carefully about how to do that, and the principal at the school, I think, would have to agree that it was a good idea for their school. Those would be my minimum conditions, but beyond that, I haven't really thought about that.
Well, it's topic number one right now.
It is.
And I'm just wondering, would you be open as the board president to at least having a discussion about this at one of the upcoming board meetings?
One of the board members has already requested to have a discussion about our policies across the board concerning firearms. And another board member has requested a resolution expressing the sense of the board on this issue. So I think some of that's already in place. But I am certainly open to having a discussion on almost anything. I'm skeptical that most of our principals would be interested in having that on their campuses, but I'm not prepared right now to rule it out, especially since the board hasn't even discussed it. I don't want to get out in front of the board and stuff like that.
Well, what is the security situation like, Dr. Stegman, at TUSD?
We have, unlike most districts, a small security force. Many of them are retired police officers. Of course, they cannot patrol everything, but they do help somewhat. We have not had any incidents, really violent incidents. We have had incidents of people bringing occasionally knives and guns to school and fights, but we have fortunately escaped anything worse than that.
Is it a safe environment, our schools at TUSD?
We have issues at some schools. I mean, there's levels of that question. So we have fighting, we have occasional incidents with knives and so forth. So I think in that sense, we have some safety and climate issues at some schools. I don't have any reason to believe that we have any serious risk of the kind of stuff that has tragically affected other districts. But you have to think about these things in advance, right? You can't just wait for something to happen and then think about it. So we will be having a very serious discussion about all kinds of different things that we might be able to do to reduce the risk of that. And this idea that some school personnel could be suitably certified and armed is just one in a whole spectrum of ideas that might come forward.
And you said, go ahead.
But I'll say, but there have been enough of these incidents across the nation that I do think we need to have that discussion and assess what our measures are to prevent that sort of thing or to deal with that sort of thing and whether we need to make changes of any kind. I think absolutely we need to have that discussion.
You said one board member had already brought forth a resolution. Is that what I heard you said concerning?
Yeah, Crystal Foster is wants to bring forth a resolution, which is not any action by the board, but a sense of the board's feeling about what's going on. And then Rachel Sedgwick has requested that we look at policies. And she isn't proposing any specific change, but she wants our policies out on the table and to have a discussion. And I think that makes sense.
Let's talk a little bit about the presidency. Now, this is a split presidency in terms of you will be serving as president for the first 6 months, and then Michael Hicks will take over for another 6 months. Why do you think this is a good idea?
I think it made sense because the board has been somewhat split. We had a retreat a couple nights ago. I think we're going to have some follow-up retreats with the same facilitator to try to crank down some of the personal stuff that goes on the board. I think I'm taking that very seriously, and we're going to try to work through some of that. But as things stand, I don't think there was anyone who... I think that anyone on the board was going to be opposed by someone. There wasn't anyone on the board that everyone was comfortable with serving as president for the full year. So to me, it made sense to split it, and then at least no one's unhappy for the whole year. So I think there's some people that find me acceptable as president, and there's some people that find Mike acceptable as president. There might even be some that find both acceptable, but at least somebody has someone whom they find acceptable for 6 months. And I think the presidency is a little bit overhyped, the importance of it. The president only has one vote, like everyone else. And who is the president, I think, is not that big a deal. It counts for something because there's some control of the agenda, but it's not the most important thing. Everyone has one vote.
Well, we are speaking with the president of the TUSD Governing Board, Dr. Mark Stegman. He's on the live line from his office at the University of Arizona, where he teaches gaming theory and the Department of Economics.
Mostly just economics. So in fact, my students are about to turn in a test.
They are?
So, yes. Oh. So I'm going to be, after this show, dashing over there and collecting exams.
Is this considered a midterm or no?
It was a take-home exam,
oh.
So they get a week to present their solutions to the world's economic problems, and then we'll grade that.
Oh, okay. Concerning the retreat, the board had a facilitator, and what I was reading on Facebook, everyone seemed to really like this gentleman. I believe he's a school attorney from Colorado. Is that correct, that he mediated the retreat?
Yes, he spent most of his career in Arizona. He's currently living in Colorado, but he's well familiar with Arizona law and the setup of education in Arizona. He was chosen by Dr. Trujillo, the superintendent. None of the board members had any advanced knowledge of him, as far as I know, but he was good. He was a good choice.
How long did that meeting go on? And I know the meeting was televised televised on their TUSD's channel, and I think that might even be available now on the TUSD website. How long did it go on?
It was scheduled for 4 hours, and that's what happened. It was 4 hours, and I think we agreed at the end to try to come back at some point with the same facilitator and talk about where we think we are at that time.
Was it an open discussion that folks just really laid it all out, do you think, or were people kind of holding back? How do you characterize what went on over that 4 hours, Mark?
I think the facilitator did a great job, and part of what made it great was that he kept the floor for most of the time.
Hmm.
I think if he had thrown it open to the board, I'm not sure what would have happened, but he didn't. He gave us some chance to talk and respond to particular things, but mostly he was talking to us about things that happen on good boards, things that happen on bad boards. He was going over the responses that we gave him in one-on-one interviews before the retreat, and it was good. And I think he arranged it in a way that prevented any strange stuff from happening.
All right. Can you give us another segment, or do you need to get back to the students? Can you give us another one after the break?
Sure. That I think my teaching assistant has it under control. I'd be happy
okay.
to.
All right. So you stay with us, but I'm going to tell our listeners right now about Green Things, one of our favorite nurseries. Well, our favorite nursery for sure, Green Things, with all things green, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And I do want to tell, where is that? There it is, about the upcoming workshop, Understanding Drip Irrigation with Roger, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. At Green Things. This is free and open to the public. The next day, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., hey, if your pottery breaks, make a little garden out of it. They'll tell you how to do it at Green Things. We'll be right back, 12:15 now. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, State Senator Steve Farley will be our Friday Focus interview. Also, Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, will join us. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Dr. Mark Stegeman is the president of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District. And at the beginning of our interview, we were talking about would he be open to a discussion about having adults who are trained in firearms to have those firearms on campus. And Dr. Stegeman said he would be open to that discussion. I did characterize that right, Dr. Stegeman, correct?
Yes, that's right. I think we should be open to discussing all of the issues surrounding school safety and protecting kids from terrible things that's happening in Florida.
All right. We have a question from one of our viewers. And the question is, as a data-driven professor at the University of Arizona, why hasn't TUSD conducted an analysis of the current culturally relevant courses, classes to prove its efficiency compared to Mexican-American studies? If the data shows it is not as successful, then would support bringing back Mexican-American studies to increase student achievement? Would you be open to that?
I think that the culturally relevant courses, as we are now teaching them, contain much of the material that was in the Mexican-American Studies program. And I think we would have to be clear about what is it that is proposed to be added. So we had a discussion about that a couple weeks ago. And Michael Hicks asked, I think, a good question. He said, well, what is it that was in the old program specifically that's not in the current program, so that we know what we're talking about? And that wasn't really very clear. So, yes, I think we should be making decisions on data generally when we have them. But I think that it's not even clear exactly what the difference is between the two programs and what that proposal would be. But, yes, absolutely. We're trying to drive student achievement, and nothing's off the table.
What did you think of Dr. Trujillo's proposal that came up a week or so ago about, well, the board actually dismissed the idea of reviewing the boundary lines to plan to shift students to underutilized schools? Do you think that's a good or a bad idea?
Oh, I absolutely supported it. Dr. Trujillo proposed and brought an 8-point proposal, and I thought, and I think Rachel Sedgwick thought, that we should adopt the whole thing. The majority of the board, the other three members, accepted part of it and rejected part of it. And the part they accepted was fine. The part they accepted is expanding some programs, spending some money on new programs. But the part they rejected was the more challenging part.
What was that part? Could you summarize that, please?
Yeah, sure. That part was to do a comprehensive boundary review, which I think is long overdue, of the high schools, and with many objectives, actually, but with specifically the objective of shifting some of the students in Rincon's attendance area into Catalina and Palo Verde attendance areas, because the Rincon site is overcrowded and Palo Verde and Catalina are both under-enrolled. And so one part of it would be to try to achieve that. And I thought that was very reasonable. It was probably the least disruptive solution you could propose to rebalancing the high school enrollment. It didn't involve closing any school. And I thought it was disappointing to me that the board wasn't willing to make that hard decision, although I thought maybe not even that hard, given that no student would be moved. But
what about Santa Rita? Are you on board to make that a technical school?
Yes, I think everyone on the board understands Santa Rita has huge challenges, and we should have honestly been addressing that more effectively years ago. I wish that what was being proposed now was coming forward 5 years ago. But it's good that Dr. Peel is proposing it now. I think it's a reasonable idea, and I want to give him a chance to make it work. I don't know whether it will work. It will be challenging at this point. Santa Rita has a lot of challenges, but I want him to have that chance to make it work.
Do you wish that Representative Todd Clodfelter had stayed out of TUSD business? His proposal would force TUSD to hand over Santa Rita High School to the Vail District. Dr. Trujillo told me on the program a week or so ago, he had did not talk to Representative Clodfelter. He had no idea where this came from, and apparently the Vail superintendent didn't either. So what do you think of it?
I think that proposal is not going to get adopted, and since that's true, I don't really see any need to pick a fight with Representative Clodfelter. I think Todd is more supportive of education than most of the people in the Republican caucus. He's the only person, Republican from Tucson right now, in the legislature, which gives us an important end to that caucus that we don't have from anyone else since Chris Ackley lost his seat. And so I don't see any point to picking a fight with him.
So you don't want to go to war with him right now?
Right now or probably any time, especially since I don't think war is usually a good solution to those problems. I think Todd has been an advocate for education in many ways, especially relative to the rest of his caucus. I think he correctly perceived their problems at Santa Rita, and he proposed a solution that maybe isn't the solution I would have thought of, but there is a problem there. I mean, he was recognizing a problem, and as I say, I don't think that anything's going to happen on that this year. That's my assessment. That's our lobbyist's assessment.
How is Dr. Trujillo doing? He has been on the program. We're trying to get him on the program, and we have been successful in doing it every couple months. He says that this district needs to really be shaken up. TUSD is fighting, in effect, for the survival, for its own survival, and he says Tucson Unified really needs to reinvent itself to survive. Do you agree with him?
Yes, I absolutely do, and it's good to hear a superintendent say that. And that's why I support what he's trying to do in Santa Rita, and that's why I supported, not to beat this horse too hard, but that's why I supported looking at the boundaries, and I was sorry that the board wouldn't back him up on that. But he's right. We need to do a lot. We need to do it fast. We need to make big changes in our discipline code. That's going to be a big focus for the next several months. He's cutting millions of dollars out of administration, and something that should have happened years ago, but better late than never. So I think he's doing pretty well. Sometimes I wish things would move faster, but you cannot criticize him for not moving faster when I don't think the board would let him move faster, even if he wanted to. So I think he's doing a good job.
And he's having to cut. I mean, my goodness, what is it, $4.5 million have to in red ink? I don't know how long he has to turn that around, but it's not that long.
No, it's urgent. We lost 1,100 students this year, and because of the current year funding system that the legislature recently put in place, we took that hit, that money loss, during this year. And we spent quite a bit of our cash reserves covering it. And so now, for next year, we have to make those cuts. And he knows that, and he is working on that. And we will have some kind of budget by June, and it will show significant cuts in central administration and operations.
But hopefully no teachers are going to be lost. I mean, it's been difficult to even get a full slate of full-time teachers in the TUSD system. I think you're still using some substitutes, so hopefully no teachers are going to lose their jobs.
Well, I have pushed very hard, and Rachel has pushed very hard to increase the fraction of our budget that goes into instruction. And the board has yet to give direction on that. We have not, at this point, been able to get a third vote for that. But I think Dr. Trujillo is doing it anyway, even if the board hasn't given that direction. And I think we will see a movement up in instructional spending as a share of what we're doing. So we're definitely, that's a very big priority for me, keeping the cuts out of the classroom.
All right. We will let you go and get back to your students there. This is just an entry-level economics course that you're teaching, or is this
This is an entry-level. This particular course is a freshman, very entry-level economic issues course.
Hmm.
It's fun to teach, actually.
You'll be judging and grading their multiple choice. No, maybe it wasn't multiple choice.
No, it's a written take home, and they were simply supposed to propose a solution to all of the U.S. economic issues.
Well, maybe they'll have some good ideas there.
I'm being a little facetious there.
Okay, Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Sure, it's always a pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Coming up now on 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing business centers in North America. The CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and the Southern Arizona region through the primary job creation that's resulted in 144 company relocations and expansions and economic impact of over $22 billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Pinal County is Pinal County Supervisor Anthony Smith. Pinal County's population has now grown to nearly 500,000 people. Pinal County has an estimated annual growth rate of about 2%. Supervisor Smith is a member of the Sun Corridor, Inc. Chairman's Circle of the organization's Board of Directors. Supervisor Smith, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much for asking.
Are you at the county seat in Florence?
No, I happen to be down across from the Capitol right now, participating in one of our Council of Governments meetings, going over some of the legislation, and that's one of the things in which I do a lot this year, and most of our local leaders are involved in looking at the bills that go through the legislature to make sure that we minimize sometimes the harm that what sounds good in Phoenix or at the state legislature doesn't always pan out that way when it comes to local governments with our communities and our counties, et cetera. So we watch for the bad bills, and then we also sponsor some of the good legislation. And I do that especially now that I'm, for this year, the president of the County Supervisors Association, so I stepped it up even more this year in order to represent all 15 counties in that regard.
Well, what is the bad legislation that perhaps could be facing counties?
Well, we have some that want to restrict our flexibility. They are sometimes unfunded mandates. They might have negative impacts on our local budgets for years and years. And in fact, now it's getting to be decades. The state, in order to manage through their budget problems, has swept some of the funds from our local governments. HERF would be a prime example of that, where we continue to deteriorate our roads and the counties and the communities and rural areas because we just don't chronically have not had the monies that have been allocated. They've gone to fund DPS, Department of Public Safety. That's one example. And then also just to impose undue restrictions on our local governments, we have some legislation that is going through and being considered that would maybe override some of our zoning laws. We have carefully planned a lot of our communities, and if the legislature on somebody's this bill has its way, desire to create home-based businesses and let them thrive, they might override some of our zoning and where we support entrepreneurs and small business, and that's basically the bread and butter of a lot of our economy. there are certain zoning rules and restrictions that we have, and that's what people invest in their communities and the style of life they like. And so to have 10, 15 cars parked down in the street if you're doing business would be a gross abuse of that. And so those are some of the examples of some of the legislation or some of the budget concerns that local governments have.
We're speaking with Anthony Smith, Supervisor Smith from Pinal County. He also is representing the Pima, or actually all of the County Supervisors Association. He's the representative who is up in Phoenix talking before the legislature and watching what they're doing. You were involved with Sun Corridor Inc.'s recent site selector meeting here in Tucson. You are on the board and the chairman's circle. You obviously believe that Sun Corridor is important. How did you think the meeting went with those site selectors who are looking at Tucson?
Very well. I had the opportunity to talk with a couple last week and then left some of our marketing brochures with others. But Pinal County is having really a tremendous success in attracting new business opportunities. Lucid Motors, Tractor Supply, Dreamport Villages, Theme Park are just a few. And last week, when they brought these high-profile site selectors in from around the country, we helped expose them to the improving business climate in Southern Arizona. And I did more than just leave with the site selectors a marketing brochure, but I took the opportunity to personally share with them what Pinal County is doing in workforce development, improving our transportation network. And I got some good information, and we have our economic development folks that will do an effective follow-up. But I participated. This is about the third opportunity I've participated in these site selection. I went to New York on one of their trips, and now we were fortunate to bring half a dozen of them to the Tucson, Pima, Sun Corridor area. In fact, I think it's such a good idea that I've asked Pinal County to see if we can sponsor through the Sun Corridor, Inc., maybe more of these site selector events and making them available to all of our member communities. We've got a good story to tell in economic development, and I think we need to seize the moment.
Pinal County has grown. I mean, that suntan area has like become a suburb of almost Phoenix. What's your growth? Is it slowing at all, or what's the next 5 to 10 years look like for our neighbors to the north, Pinal County?
Well, the additional growth, absolutely. We've areas such as Santan Valley is now getting in the area of excess of 100,000. A community that I live in is the city of Maricopa, which also is part of my supervisor district. They're doing 100 building permits a month, nothing like the crazy days of 700 a month, but at a very reasonable pace, and other communities are doing likewise. We're seeing new home construction, even in one of my communities that hasn't had a builder in years. Arizona City just announced that they have a builder that is marketing new product. But what I think we'll see in the next 5-10 years, we're going to see major highway projects such as the North-South Freeway that connects the Mesa Gateway Airport and the East Valley communities come down through the heart of Pinal County down to the ITM near Picacho Peak. We're going to see new manufacturing facilities with electric car maker Lucid Motors. I think tourism and entertainment will start to be a major economic driver with the new Disney-style Dreamport Villages theme park that's in the area of I-8 and I-10. We'll see some of our historic economic drivers, such as mining in the Superior area, will start delivering its first products to market. And in short, I think we'll see a lot of supply chain-related activities start populating areas in southern Arizona, Sonora, Mexico, especially along our major transportation routes.
Well, things are really happening up in Pinal County, really becoming a pivotal county between the two of the state's largest metropolitan areas,
yes,
Tucson and Phoenix. You're like kind of, you're the link between the two big cities, and it's a really important link, and appreciate you giving the time to us, Supervisor Smith. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Welcome. Thank you for having me on the program.
That's Anthony Smith. He is the Pinal County, one of the Pinal County supervisors, but he is also very much involved. I believe he said he's chairing now the group of all of the County Supervisors Association. He goes up. He was talking to us from the state capitol, and they were talking about the lobbying efforts that the counties are doing, and hopefully they're hoping that money will not be taken out of highway user funds for other purposes this time around. Our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by SunCorridorInc.com. Find out more about Southern Arizona's economic engine. Go to SunCorridorInc.com. Coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 11 minutes before 1 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview, State Senator Steve Farley will be our Friday Focus interview, giving us an update not only on how the legislative session is going up in Phoenix, but also he is, of course, one of three Democratic candidates for governor of Arizona. So we'll get an update on how his campaign is going. And then our reporters will be Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star joining us, and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Silver City in Grant County, one of our fine sponsors. That is such a beautiful area of the Southwest United States. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. So much to do, from hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just like hanging out in a lovely environment. So visit southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find the complete list of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, suddenly the Republican race in Congressional District 2 is wide open as far as the number of candidates. This has gone from Leah Marquez Peterson, who is the longtime CEO of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in Tucson, from being the only candidate. Now there are four others, so it's now a five-way race, and one of those is Casey Welch. Casey joins us now in studio. Casey, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Buckmaster, for having me here.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into this race.
Well, I got into this race. It's been a long time running, actually, for let's say back 10 years ago. You know, I've been looking at running for Congress, and, you know, I've one thing that occurred to me about 8 years ago, coming up on this, there was a rancher, Mr. Kruntz. He was shot and killed by an illegal immigrant. One thing that, you know, the people of Arizona really got behind and we really pushed for, 1070. But unfortunately, we didn't have the national government on our side. Really we fought against us, and you know, I've been keeping a close eye on that. Of course, the Obama administration was against us. And now we have a great president, President Trump, that's, you know, supporting us on our needs for securing our border and reform for illegal immigration. So recently I returned back from the United States. I was recently the director of management operations for the Peace Corps in Colombia. And when I've recently relocated to Tucson, Arizona, and one day, a couple months, weeks ago, we noticed that Martha McSally vacated her seat. And I looked at the competition, I looked at the issues that were on the table, and I knew that I had to be the one. I was the one that needed to run for this seat, because it's just too vital for us, for Arizona, and it's too vital for the United States to kick this can down the path any longer. You know, I looked at the candidates and I said, you know, I have more education, I have more experience, and I am the right person for the job. So I threw my hat in the ring.
Now, what about your experience with the Peace Corps? Why did you decide to get into the Peace Corps?
I actually went another path. I was I did 2 years of military school at Marion Military Institute, and I pursued, and I was going to pursue a path in the military. So I did 2 years of military school, and I went on to Arizona State University, where I continued to ROTC. And one day I was walking across the quad, and I saw a sign for the Peace Corps, and it called to me. I was called to that kind of that life, grassroots, helping people out selflessly. And you know, I abandoned my views on not my views, but you know, my future in the military, and went after the Peace Corps instead. I found that it was the same. It was a service to the United States, and it's a service to people that really are in need. I served 2 years in Nicaragua as a small business volunteer, and most recently I joined as a direct hire Peace Corps as the management operations In Colombia.
And you might still be in Colombia if your wife was not pregnant.
That is correct. Yeah, we're expecting our second child, and it's serendipitous.
I mean, actually, not that you didn't want the second child, but it's just the way it all worked out. Tell the story.
Things, you know, I believe in fate. I really do. We found out we were having our second child, and we were just ecstatic about it. We notified the U.S. Embassy in Bogota. They have a medical unit there that look after the U.S. direct hires that are, you know, stationed in Colombia. And they immediately notified us that my wife needs to be medevaced due to the Zika virus for precaution of it. So my wife left Bogota, or left Colombia, and we relocated back into Tucson area. And I stayed another 2 months and finally resigned. I just couldn't live without my family. I love them too much.
So here you are. You're back in Tucson. Now you are in the district running and CD2. What is it about, what is your plan, the Casey Welsh plan for improving the immigration system?
Well,
Simply put,
I think citizens born in the United States, they should be granted citizenship if they are both of the parents are citizens of the United States.
So-called dreamers.
Well, the dreamers. I do not believe in the amnesty whatsoever in that. You know, unfortunately, they were brought to the United States, and you know, it's a bad deal for them. But in fact, they are not United States citizens. They are breaking the law. So that's unfortunate.
Would you send them back?
Unfortunately, for them, yes, I would. They are breaking the law. And now, there's nothing to discourage them from coming back to the United States if they want to reapply. But, I mean, if you got to look at it, it's quite good for them. They speak English. They're ahead of the game in their own foreign countries when they return back to said Venezuela or Colombia or Mexico or El Salvador. You know, they not only are they hiding in the shadows here, but when they go back to their present their country, you know, they've already been trained by the United States. They're already well educated. They speak English. They're ahead of, again, they should probably thrive in those environments rather than not thrive here in the United States.
Why do you think you could beat the so-called front runner in this race, Leah Marquez Peterson?
Clearly, my experiences and my education, I'll perform her in every aspect. I encourage everyone to look at my webpage at kcwelchforcongress.com or look me up on LinkedIn, and you clearly see, put both our resumes to side by side. I clearly outperform every candidate running for this race.
Well, it sounds like you're all in. Earlier in the interview, you're all in with President Trump. You think he's done a terrific job?
I think he's had his issues. I think he's had some problems, but overall, I think, you know, for the residents of Southern Arizona, I think he's done a good job, and let's hope that he fixes and helps us fix our immigration reform and secures our border. I think that's the most important thing.
Casey, what about the big issue of the day? Do you think we should arm adults in schools if they have the training?
That's a good question. I do think that we should be talking about the security in our schools. Our children are our most precious commodities. They are our future, and you know, it scares me as a father, you know, closely of two children. I don't want to say every time I say goodbye to my child and she goes to school, this might be the last day that she goes. So we have security guards in our libraries. We have security guards in our courts. Security guards almost everywhere, in our malls. Why do we not have a security guard in our schools? Let's protect our children.
How about other issues? Talk a little bit about security in schools. Talked about immigration. What else is on your radar?
Infrastructure. That's one big thing that I think that again, President Trump, he's trying to push that situation. You know, especially here, I mean, people drive around in Tucson. We have crumbling roads. It's quite frankly embarrassment. We need to fix these roads, our bridges, airports, everything needs to be upgraded, and it's only going to help us out, our economy out. There's no downside of this. And another thing on the side note, Amtrak, I mean, they keep getting into accidents. Why are we not upgrading the system there? Why are we not going to places like Japan or Europe and asking them for help? They've already designed these types of train systems that work, and they're very safe.
The European bullet trains and the system is so good. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. We have great examples all around the world. Why are we not, you know, using these examples? Why are we reinventing the wheel? Why are we scared to do that?
Casey, again, where can people find out more about you and your campaign? Perhaps people would like to get involved. How do they do so?
If you can get involved, go to my website at caseywelchforcongress.com. You can find out all about my issues, about me, and you can. There's links in there too, also to my Facebook account and LinkedIn, where you know, as I said before, you can. I have no secrets. It's all out there, and I allow everyone to see who I am and why I am the best candidate.
CD2 is a huge district, so you're going to be getting out in all the area, different communities.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've been gunning it away trying to get signatures, but that's actually been...
How many do you need signatures, by the way?
Roughly around 1,100, but, you know, okay. They're estimating that we should probably double that. So, mm-hmm. I looked at it as a challenge, but now I'm looking at it as it's a great way to meet people and get the issues down. I'm out there almost every day for at least a couple hours. I find time to hit the streets and meet people, and, that's the most important, meeting the people in that community engagement.
All right, Casey Welch, good luck to you, and we'll be talking to all the candidates here as we now get in full swing to the election season. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up this afternoon, it is Mic Check. Mic Check has expanded now to 2 hours from 4 to 6, and so we're now doing here on KVOI more local talk than any other Tucson radio station, doing 6 hours of local talk now a day here on KVOI. Ray Allen, my producer, along with myself, Bill Buckmaster, and our guest, Casey Welch, wishing you a great afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow, 12:04, with our Friday Focus interview. Wake up Tucson 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. Have a great afternoon.